of the material world, he enters into this forest due to his desire to enjoy, but instead of finding pleasure, he experiences suffering and such frustration. In the 23rd verse, there's a conclusion and a solution that really points to what the problem is. And again, it is not household life. It is not tiger-like wives and jackal-like children. Because we all take turns acting in those materialistic, selfish ways. But in text 23, Ata chad tasmar ubayatapi hi kamasmin atmana samsara vapanam udaharati haranti. Learned scholars and transcendentalists condemn the materialistic path of karma, of fruit of activities. That is what is being condemned. That is what materialism means. That path where one is seeking his happiness from the senses in a self-centered, selfish way, that is what is being condemned. And it engages one in fruitive activities. And this materialistic path of fruitive activities is what is the original source and breeding ground of material misery, of samsara, atmana samsara, of the cycle of birth and death for the living entities. This is what is being condemned. Cultivating this, avapanam, the cultivation of this. This is what the Vedas, the authorities say, is the real problem. So that's the conclusion about what the problem is. If one wants to end miseries and keep up this same way of life based on this same fruit of mentality, one will be one will not be able to do so. One has to give up the mentality. We change the externals of our lifestyle, but ultimately, and that is important, that is essential, because this lifestyle, the Krishna conscious lifestyle, it's so much more in the mode of goodness. It's surrounded by so many devotional activities, but ultimately the mentality has to be changed, and ultimately the false ego has to be gotten rid of, and one has to become a servant of Krishna if one wants to progress in bhakti. So the fruit of path of materialistic activities has to be given up. If one wants to advance in bhakti. Let's see if there's any other texts like that in this. Yes. 27. Adhvani amushmin ima upasargas tata sukha dukha raga dvesha. In this materialistic life, there are many difficulties. So what is the cause of the difficulties? It's inherent in the materialistic life, as I have just mentioned. So, and all of these are insurmountable. In addition, there are difficulties arising from so-called happiness, distress, attachment, hate, fear, false prestige, illusion, madness. So many terrible things come, and all these combine together to give the materialistic. Again, the problem is that the person, he has a materialistic mentality. And this is the exact cause of the problem. And because of the materialistic mentality, one engages in materialistic fruit of activities. If one tries to give up materialistic activities without changing his fruit of materialistic mentality, he'll just carry that into his activities. So this has to occur. The materialistic, self-centered, false ego-based consciousness must change to Krishna Bhakti Rasita Bhavato Mati, Krishna consciousness. Again, in text 28 in Prabhupada's purport, I can't remember exactly why I underlined this to say. To the eyes of the lover, one Bengali poet Bankim Chandra says that to the eyes of the lover, the beloved is always very beautiful, even though ugly. This attraction is called Devamaya or Maya. This is the very nature of the material world, something that is not essentially pleasing. Seems, it forces us, there's a particular energy that Krishna has. This is his Mama Maya Dharatyaya, that he empowers the material world with this energy, and something that is essentially not pleasing appears to be the object and source of pleasure. It cannot deliver the pleasure. Like an advertisement, even in Vrindavan now, when you come down the road, there's billboards on this side and billboards on that side, advertising this, advertising that. Delhi is like that, Mumbai is like that, all the major cities in the world, just full of advertisements, trying to make an object appear, some object or another appear to be able to give satisfaction to the soul, and thereby it will cause us to buy that object. And that which bewilders the mind makes something that is essentially non-attractive appear attractive. That is Maya. That is Krishna's illusory energy. And oh, how powerful that illusory energy is. So now we're moving to today's text. Oh, before we do that, in 31 there's another description in the text of what this Maya does. They're always, it makes the materialistic people with that fruitive mentality engage in material activities known as gramya karma, and they work hard for material benefit. This is what is being condemned. What places us under this Deva Maya? It is this fruitive tendency. And then it bewilders us. It covers on, throws us down, covers on all of us. So working hard, suffering hard, working hard for material benefit. And thus, another aspect of this Maya, they forget completely that one day their small lifespan will be finished and they'll be degraded in the evolutionary cycle, driven down. Human life taken away. So 32. Just as a monkey jumps from one tree to another, and you see these powerful bull monkeys, they're so strong, they're just bursting with energy, and they have so much energy, they grab a tree and they shake it like that. They don't know what to do with their energy, or they're just showing how powerful they are. So the monkey jumps from one tree to another, the conditioned soul jumps from one body to another. As the monkey is ultimately captured by the hunter and is unable to get out of captivity, the conditioned soul, being captivated by momentary sex pleasure, becomes attached to different types of bodies and is encaged in family life. Family life affords the conditioned soul a festival of momentary sex pleasure, and thus he is completely unable to get out of the material clutches because he wants to continuously attend that festival. But it is only a momentary festival. In the material world, when the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness, he simply engages in different types of mischievous and sinful activities. This is the material world. He is then subjected to the threefold miseries. and out of fear of the elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in a mountain cave. Purport. Everyone is afraid of death. And however strong a materialistic person may be, when there is disease in old age, one must certainly accept death's notice. The conditioned soul becomes very morose to receive notice of death. His fear is compared to the fear experienced upon entering a dark mountain cave, and death is compared to a great elephant. Has anyone ever entered a dark mountain cave and found an elephant inside? A mad, not even Patri Prabhu has done something that wonderful yet. Don't try. But there's a terror that enters the heart. And that terror is what is being compared to death. Or if one goes to the top of a very tall building, maybe we've done this, and then leans off and looks down. Have you ever done that? A particular type of terror grips the stomach. You know what that actually is? Huh? Yes, but there's an experience of Lord Vishnu's chakra when that happens. Because that's actually what's described a little later, that the Lord's chakra is time, and time means death, and it's inevitable. And it offers that terror, a glimpse, a slight glimpse of the terror. And no matter how strong one is, that terror is terrifying. It places terror within the heart. No matter how powerful one is, confronted with that elephant, one feels terrified. The conditioned soul suffers many miserable bodily conditions, and is being such as being affected by severe cold and strong winds. He also suffers due to the activities of other living entities and due to natural disturbances. So the solution isn't to change one's material situation, although that in some ways may be necessary, but that is not the solution. The solution is to stop being a conditioned soul. And what does it mean to stop being a conditioned soul? A conditioned soul is one where so many limitations and relative things are covering it and taking away his actual identity. And the opposite of being a conditioned soul is a free soul, a liberated soul. So how to become free is the real issue. Free of this conditioning that simply causes suffering. The promise of pleasure is there, but the deliverance of suffering is the result. So part of the process of delivery is hearing about the miseries of the material world, of repeated birth and death. This isn't the only part of the process. And there's a happier part too, at the end even of this chapter. We'll be happy to exit the forest of material enjoyment. But yet we have to know that this place is not a place of happiness. It is a place of suffering. Regardless of what we do, what arrangements we make, we cannot succeed. Everyone is a failure here on the material level. The bluff of the materialist is he likes to parade and show his successes so others can become envious of him. But no one succeeds in the material world. It is not possible. So he often suffers when he is unable to counteract them, all these different sufferings, and he has to remain in a miserable condition. He naturally becomes morose because he wants to enjoy material facilities. This is the desire that is burning in his heart. How can I enjoy? How can I remove these obstacles to my enjoyment? Sometimes conditioned souls exchange money, but in due course of time, enmity arises because of cheating. Although there may be a tiny profit, the conditioned souls cease to be friends and become enemies. Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Pumsa Striya Matuni Bhava Metan Tayor Mito Ridya Granti Mahu Ato Grihat Chetra Sutapta Vatar Janasi Mohoyam Aham Mameti. A full Aham Mameti. This is me, and all these things have accumulated are mine. The monkey-like conditioned soul who jumps from tree to tree, branch to branch, first becomes attached to sex, and when intercourse actually takes place, he becomes more attached. He then requires some material comforts, apartment, house, food, friends, wealth, and so on. In order to acquire these things, he has to cheat others, and this creates enmity even amongst the most intimate friends. Sometimes this enmity is created between the conditioned soul and the father or spiritual master. Unless one is firmly fixed in the regulative principles, one may perform mischievous acts even if one is a member of the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada says. We therefore advise our disciples to strictly follow the regulative principles. Otherwise, the most important movement for the upliftment of humanity will be hampered due to dissension amongst its members. One time, quite amazing little story. One devotee, what did Prabhupada just say? What specific word did Prabhupada use?
Hampered.
Huh?
Hampered.
The movement, important movement.
Dissension.
Dissension. What does dissension mean? And fighting, and fighting, and fighting. And what is the cure for that? What did Prabhupada say? Yeah, following the regulative principle. Why is that the cure? What's the cause of fighting? Huh? Yes. False ego, thinking this is me and this is mine. One Mataji told the one story how she went and saw Prabhupada, Sava Bhavana, Prabhu's wife, mentioned how she went and saw Prabhupada. And she said, this is a spiritual movement and everyone's always fighting. And Prabhupada's reply was that when there's fighting, it means that it takes two to fight, he said. You can't fight with yourself, although we try. It takes two to fight. When there's a fight, it means that one person, that it's both persons' fault because both were not humble enough. That means that if there's a fight, if one person is humble enough and surrenders and just becomes humble, somehow or another he can escape from the fight. He may take some blame, a little more austerity, thinking tateno kampam susumikshamano. But then there's no fight. So dissension means that both are at fault because both prove to be not humble enough to avoid the fight somehow or another. And that lack of humility is caused by big false ego. And big false ego cannot exist if the principles are being strictly followed. That is Prabhupada's point. Another time, one devotee came from Bombay. This is when the devotees were struggling to build the temple. And Prabhupada asked the devotee, how are things going in Bombay? And the devotee, he didn't know what to say. So he thought, I better say something, that I've noticed something. So he said, it's not very clean, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, that means the devotees aren't chanting their rounds. And then the devotee thought, oh, I've gotten everyone into trouble. I didn't mean to do that. So he said, no, Prabhupada, I'm not saying the devotees aren't chanting their rounds, I'm just saying it's not so clean. And Prabhupada said again, that means the devotees aren't chanting their rounds. Because one cannot exist in a filthy situation unless one's consciousness is also filthy. If one is in the mode of goodness and one is in a filthy situation, there will be a reaction. Cannot be tolerated. So, even though it sounds so simple, the cure for big false ego and to end the dissension is strict following of the principles. Those who are serious about pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement should remember this and strictly follow the regulative principles so that their minds will not be disturbed. So what should we remember? And that will cause purification and the dissension, so there can be some unity in the movement, because there is strength in unity. 36. Sometimes, having no money, the conditioned soul does not get sufficient accommodations. Sometimes he doesn't even have a place to sit, nor does he have the other necessities. In other words, he falls into scarcity. And at that time, when he's unable to secure the necessities by fair means, he decides to seize the property of others unfairly. When he cannot get the things he wants, he simply receives insults from others and thus becomes very morose. And eventually one is caught. When one acts dishonestly, one must be caught by the laws of nature. It is just the way the material nature works. And one is punished. So this is Krishna's, the way that Krishna works the material nature, that one cannot act improperly and forever remain free. It just can't happen like that. 37. Although people may be enemies, in order to fulfill their desires again and again, they sometimes get married. Unfortunately, these marriages do not last very long, and the people involved are separated again by divorce or other means. What's another means? Yes, it's not done every day, but occasionally. Or there was one just recently in Australia, someone killed his wife, and then after the funeral, he killed himself. That's another methodology. Such a crazy world. Purport. As stated previously, every conditioned soul has the propensity to cheat, even in marriage. Everywhere in this material world, one conditioned soul is envious of another. For the time being, people may remain friends, but eventually they become enemies again and fight over money. Sometimes they marry and then separate by divorce or other means. On the whole, unity is never permanent. Due to the cheating propensity, both parties always remain envious. Even in Krishna consciousness, separation and enmity take place due to the prominence of material propensities. The path of this material world is full of material miseries. And various troubles disturb the conditioned souls. Sometimes he loses, sometimes he gains. In either case, the path is full of danger. Sometimes the conditioned soul is separated from his father by death or other circumstances, and leaving him aside, he gradually becomes attached to others, such as his children. In this way, the conditioned soul is sometimes illusioned and afraid. Sometimes he cries loudly out of fear. And sometimes he's happy, maintaining his family. Sometimes he's overjoyed and sings melodiously. In this way, he becomes entangled and forgets his separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead since time immemorial. What does he forget? His relationship with Krishna and the cause of his suffering. Forgets that. Krishna bhule se jivanadi bahi mukh. And placed in so much trouble. Ata eva maya tari samsareta duk. Thus, he traverses the dangerous path of material existence, and on this path he is not at all happy. Those who are self-realized simply take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to get out of this dangerous material existence. So here the solution is given. Simply take shelter of Krishna. Sarvadamam pratyajam mamekam sharanam braja. What does it mean to take shelter of Krishna? This is called Sharanagati. Yeah. But the primary thing is to look nowhere else for your protection. Because all these things that were described about the material world were misery creating. We seek happiness, but we get misery. But where do we look for protection? Searching still further in the forest of the material enjoyment? That is what we usually do. But that is not a solution, nor is it a shelter. So what's being suggested here, and what the shelter in all Shastra explains, is to take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna. So those who are self-realized simply take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Self-realized means one who realizes that his self is Krishna's servant and Krishna is his natural shelter. So without accepting the devotional path, one cannot get out of the clutches of material existence. So what does the devotional path have to do with surrender? First, Sukadeva is saying that surrender, and then he's saying you have to take shelter of the devotional path. Well, he's saying not surrender exactly, but take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What does that have to do with the devotional path? Yeah, because this is the... the basic principle of devotional service is when the soul gives himself to Krishna, I am yours. Instead of thinking the body is me and that all I can accumulate is mine, the surrendered devotee thinks, I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. This is proper... proper mameti, the proper way of thinking of aham mameti, I am mine, I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. But very, very, very deeply and fully, based on thinking this, based on, this is the natural thing that should occur, because I am Krishna's. I am his part and parcel. Krishna says, Mama eva angsa jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana. The living entities are certainly my part and parcels. So the conclusion is no one can be happy in the material world. One must take to Krishna consciousness. Here's Prabhupada's purport. By thoroughly analyzing the materialistic way of life, and this is what both Sukadeva Goswami and Jad Bharat did. By thoroughly analyzing the materialistic way of life, any sane man can understand there is not the least happiness in this world. However, due to continuing on the path of danger from time immemorial and not associating with saintly persons, the conditioned soul under illusion wants to enjoy the material world. He can't give up that desire to enjoy the material world. How many slaps will it take before we give up that desire? See what happened in Bharat Maharaj's life. He got one huge slap, and fully deeply in his consciousness, he was already so advanced that was sufficient. And he made a full and deep determination, never again, never again. And he refused to have anything to do with the material world anymore. Material energy sometimes gives him a chance at so-called happiness, but the conditioned soul is perpetually being punished by material nature. It is therefore said, Danya jane rajo yena nadite chubhai. Materialistic life means continuous unhappiness, but sometimes we accept happiness as it appears between the gaps. Sometimes a condemned person is submerged in water and holed out. They used to have that in the early days of the United States when they were a criminal and they'd put him in the water. That was the punishment. Then they hold him underwater. And then just when he was about to die and drown, they'd pull him out and he'd go, and that's the happiness. That's the comparison. The happiness of the material world is the breath of air that one occasionally gets in the midst of the torture of being underwater. Very, very heavy condemnation. Very heavy. Actually, all of this is meant for his punishment, even his breath. But he feels a little comfort when he's taken out of the water. This is the situation with the conditioned souls. All the shastras therefore advise that one associate with devotees and saintly people. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra kai, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. And this is what happened with Jad Bharat and Rahugana. So this is illustrating all these points. Even by a little association with devotees, the conditioned soul can get out of this material, miserable material condition. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to give everyone a chance to associate with saintly people. So look what Prabhupada is saying about the Krishna consciousness movement. He said before there's danger of dissension if we don't follow strictly. He said people give up vows. But here is what he wants. He wanted clearly that the devotees strictly follow and become saints, sadhus, and associate with others. Therefore, all the members of this Krishna consciousness society, notice the word all, must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls. This is the best humanitarian work. So this is how to escape material life. What was the way? Take shelter of Krishna. Saintly persons who are friends to all living entities have a peaceful consciousness. So how to recognize the saintly person whose association is so valuable? They have controlled their senses and minds, and they easily attain the path of liberation, the path back to Godhead. Being unfortunate and attached to the miserable material conditions, a materialistic person cannot associate with them. Purport. The great saint Jad Bharat described both the miserable condition and the means to get out. The only way out of it is the association with devotees, and this association is very easy. Although unfortunate people also get this opportunity. Where did Jad Bharat say that? Mahat Sangha Dwaram Bina. That without that association, one does not get out. Although unfortunate people also get this opportunity due to their great misfortune, they cannot take shelter of pure devotees. And consequently, they continuously suffer. Nonetheless, this Krishna consciousness movement insists that everyone take to this path by adopting the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The preachers of Krishna consciousness go from door to door to inform people how they can be relieved from the miserable conditions of material life. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Pasare Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. By the mercy of Krishna and Guru, one can get the seed of devotional service. If one is a little intelligent, he can cultivate Krishna consciousness and be freed from the miserable conditions of material life. There were many, text 40, there were many great saintly kings who were expert in performing sacrificial rituals and very competent in conquering other kingdoms, yet despite their power, they could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because those great kings could not conquer the false consciousness of I am this body and this is my property. Thus, they simply create enmity with rival kings, fought with them, and died without having discharged life's real purpose. So the real purpose of life has been described. Yeah, and Prabhupada explains in the right at the very end of his purport, Ata pumbhya dvija shreshtash vanashama vibhagasa sunuskitasya dharmasya samsadim haritoshanam. And Prabhupada says, it really doesn't matter. So this also responds to the point that you were, Adi Kushapu, mentioning yesterday. It really doesn't matter what activity a man engages in. If he can simply satisfy the Supreme Lord, his life is successful. That is the measurement of the success of one's life. How serious and sincere, even more than serious, the word sincere, how sincere one is in his attempt to actually please Krishna, Guru and Krishna. When the conditioned soul accepts the shelter of the creeper of fruitive activities, he may be elevated by his pious activities to higher planetary systems and thus gain liberation from hellish conditions, but unfortunately he cannot remain there. Notice the creeper. If you want to climb something, you can't take shelter of a creeper. Why? Because a creeper needs another shelter. The creeper needs the shelter of a building or a tree. So similarly, the point being, the creeper of fruitive activities, they can't give us the shelter that we are longing for, that we require, the secure shelter that Rahugana Maharaj asked about. That shelter is Krishna. Not the creeper of fruitive activities, where we gain something temporarily. On various levels we gain something temporarily, but we don't have a true shelter. He cannot remain there. Gets liberated from hellish conditions, but he cannot remain in the higher planetary system because there is no true shelter there. Reaping the results of his pious activities, he has to return to the lower planetary systems. In this way, he perpetually goes up and comes down. In this regard, Prabhupada says in his purport, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev. Who did he say that to? Srila Rupa Goswami, whose disappearance day is today. Guru Krishna Pasare Pai Bhakti Lakshmi. Even if one wanders for many millions of years, from the time of creation until the time of annihilation, one cannot get free from the path of material existence. unless one receives shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. As a monkey takes shelter of the branch of a banyan tree and thinks he is enjoying, the conditioned soul, not knowing the real interest of his life, takes shelter of the path of karmakanda fruit of activities. Sometimes he's elevated to the heavenly planets by such activities. Sometimes he again descends to earth. This is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Brahmanda Brahmate, wandering around the material universe. However, if by Krishna's grace one is fortunate enough to come under the shelter of the Guru, by the mercy of Krishna, he receives lessons on how to execute devotional service to the Supreme Lord. In this way, now listen to this sentence, he receives a clue how to get out of this continuous struggle up and down within the material world. Why? What is the meaning of that he receives a clue? What does a clue mean? What is it? It means like a hint. A clue is subtle. What does it mean that he receives the clue? How to get out of this continual struggle? He receives lessons on how to execute devotional service. Lessons how to execute devotional service. But he receives a clue how to get out of the continuous struggle up and down in the material world. What does that mean? Clue is subtle, a hint. Yes, yes. But why is the word clue used?
It's a clue to our eternal relationship with Krishna.
But what it... Yeah, example, a clue to our eternal relationship. But why a clue? In other words, lessons on how to execute devotional service.
It's confidential knowledge.
It's confidential knowledge. This is very subtle and secret stuff.
It's a clue maybe that he starts to realize.
Yes, that's what it seems, due to the confidentiality. In other words, someone can tell you, Prabhupada used to say it, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, if you read the Bhagavatam, he'll tell it 100 times, 1,000 times, 5,000 times, he'll say, surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. Then we give class and we tell everyone, everyone has to surrender to Krishna. And then at some point, if we're lucky, we realize, oh, I'm supposed to surrender to Krishna. Oh, I'm supposed to make him the center. There has to come the point, because there's an English saying, you can bring the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The clue we have to pick up by Krishna's mercy. And then some realization has to come by Krishna's mercy. And then we have some freedom to step forward based on this subtle realizations that Krishna gives us. And if we respond properly to Krishna's clues and hints of what will please him even in a circumstance, then it shows we're listening very carefully and perhaps he will give us more and more and more and more. I thought that was very interesting. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that one should approach a spiritual master. The Vedas declare, tad vigyanartam sagarum eva bikat chet. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, tad tadbidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya upadakshanti te jnanam dhyaninas tatvadarshana. Just try to learn the truth. But as you said, Maharaj, the example is such a clue. The example of an exalted soul is such a clue. It is the most potent of clues how we are to advance. There is something internal going on with him. We can in the early days of the movement, oh, the devotees used to imitate the way Prabhupada. He was 72 years old, 74 years old, 76 years old. 70, and the devotees were 22 years old, and they would they were mostly from the United States, and they would imitate the way the Prabhupada talked, the way Prabhupada walked, the way Prabhupada said this and said that. So that is a type of affection and flattery, but yet that wasn't the essence of what was Prabhupada. That full devotional surrender to Guru, to Mahaprabhu's mission, that's what was in Prabhupada's heart. And Radha and Krishna, Radha Govinda, Radha Shama Sundar, that is what was at the heart of the matter. Imitate that. You can't imitate devotion. So we imitated the externals, which is affection, and perhaps some benefit, even though there were devotees who started walking with canes and everything. Really? When they were 20, 30 years old. Any person who seriously desires to achieve happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. That means becoming das, servant. Take shelter. You are my shelter. The qualification of his spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. Similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti, a great Vaishnava, also advises Yasya Prasada, Bhagavad Prasada. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the mercy of Krishna. This is the same advice given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Bij. This is essential. One must come to Krishna consciousness, and therefore one must take shelter of a pure devotee. Thus one can become free from the clutches of matter. Which also explains why one has to follow the principles strictly, is because if one acts purely, one's consciousness will become more subtle. And if one's consciousness is subtle, one can understand the more subtle teaching. And if one's gross, due to deep contaminations of passion and ignorance, then one's understandings, one's perceptions will be gross, because one sees according to one's consciousness. One perceives according to one's consciousness. The more subtle one's consciousness is, the more one can perceive of reality. Reality means Krishna. Krishna is the essential element of everything. And what Krishna desires. So therefore, serious devotees who want to do something, advance themselves and perform service, have to keep subtle consciousness. So what to do if by nature one has very gross, passionate and ignorant consciousness? So one should know one's disease and therefore take strong medicine of a lot of chanting of Krishna's names. And realize the danger of one's position, and take very. If one is in a precarious position, if one's on the land, he can play and do this and that. But if he's holding by one hand a rope at the bottom and trying to get out of the well, and it's very precarious, and he's only holding by one hand, oh, he has to hold on so tightly. Although, because his position is precarious. 42. Having summarized the teachings of Jad Bharat, Sukadev Goswami said, "My dear King Parikit," so the teachings of Jad Bharat are really an expansion of the teachings of Maharaj Rishabdev, Bharat Maharaj's father, because Maharaj Rishabdev taught his son, his eldest son, who was so powerful. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Pariksit, the path indicated by Jadbharat is like the path followed by Garuda, the carrier of the Lord, and ordinary kings are just like flies. Flies cannot follow the path of Garuda, and to date, none of the great kings and victorious leaders could follow the path of devotional service, not even mentally." We'll read from halfway down Prabhupada's purport, because Prabhupada is going to explain what that path is for us. "The path of devotional service is undoubtedly very difficult to follow, but it becomes very easy if the candidate actually wants to follow the path of the Mahajans. In this age, there is the path of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared to deliver all fallen souls. This path is so simple and easy that everyone can take to it by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Harayanama, 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 Ibekebalam, Kaloa, Nasteva, 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 Gatsyanayata. We are very satisfied that this path is being opened by this Krishna consciousness movement, because so many European and American boys and girls are taking this philosophy seriously and gradually attaining perfection." So some of us get a little disappointed how gradual the gradually is, but while in the prime of his life, more about the glories of Bharat. The great Maharaj Bharat gave up everything because he was fond of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Sloka. He gave up his beautiful wife, nice children, great friends, an enormous empire. Although these things were very difficult to give up, Maharaj Bharat was so exalted that he gave them up, just as one gives up stool after evacuating. Such was the greatness of His Majesty. There is no problem with that type of renunciation, because it's horrible. One wants to renounce immediately. So Prabhupada explains in his purport, the name of God is Krishna because He is so attractive that the pure devotee can give up everything within the material world on His behalf. So if we just take to the section of the Bhagavatam that describes how miserable the material world is, just by hearing the miseries of the material world, it will not be enough to cause a full detachment from the material world. This was described in, I think it was in Prithu Maharaj's teachings that we read last year, that the attraction to Krishna must become deeply embedded in one's consciousness for one to actually be detached from matter, and increasing continuously, because Maya is very tricky. Yes. So then Prabhupada gives a summary of this in this purport that I want to continue. Very important summary, actually. I'll just read a little. Prabhupada said, "We have to learn from the great King Bharat how to become cautious in cultivating Krishna consciousness. A little inattention will retard our devotional service for the time being. Yet any service rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never lost. Somehow or another, if one is attracted to Krishna, whatever he does in devotional service is a permanent asset. Even if one falls down due to immaturity or bad association, his devotional assets are never lost." And then Prabhupada explains, "We are spreading the glories of Krishna by pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna's reputation, 5,000 years after the battle of Kurukshetra, is still expanding throughout the world. Every important individual within this world must have heard about Krishna, especially at the present moment, due to the Krishna consciousness movement. Prior to 1966, practically no one, practically speaking, in the United States, in South America, North America, in Europe, USSR, and so many, no one heard about Krishna. No one knew Krishna's name, practically speaking. So Prabhupada then expressed something that he was fond of saying, even people who do not like us and want to suppress the movement are also somehow or another chanting Hare Krishna. They say, the Hare Krishna people should be chastised. Such foolish people do not realize the true value of this movement. But the mere fact that they want to criticize it gives them a chance to chant Hare Krishna, and this is its success. There's that famous pastime where Gadadhar Das in Panihati, there was a very, very heavy Muslim magistrate who was very powerful and very anti-Hindu. And one day Gadadhar Pandit was seized by ecstasy, and he went to his door in a fiery mood, and he said, where is he? So he went right into his house of this Muslim magistrate and said something to the effect of, you have to chant Hare Krishna immediately. He threatened him. There was some threatening in there, if I remember correctly. And then the Muslim, because he saw that he was frightened, actually, even though he was so powerful, he was so frightened of Gadadhar Das's potency. He said, tomorrow I'll chant Hare Krishna. And then Gadadhar Das went into ecstasy. He said, you've just chanted Hare Krishna. Why wait? You haven't even waited till tomorrow. And he began to dance, and then in ecstasy he ran out. He ran in ecstasy. Sukadeva Goswami continued, text 44. My dear king, the activities of Bharat Maharaj are wonderful. He gave up everything difficult for others to give up. He gave up his kingdom, his wife, his family. His opulence was so great that even the demigods envied it. But yet he gave it up. It was quite befitting a great personality like him to be a great devotee. He could renounce everything because he was so attracted to the beauty, opulence, reputation, knowledge, strength, and renunciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna is so attractive that one can give up all desirable things for his sake. Indeed, even liberation is considered insignificant for those whose minds are attracted to the loving service of the Lord. So this is what it means to be a devotee. A devotee is one whose mind is attracted only to pleasing Krishna. Text 45. Even though in the body of a deer, and here is some shastric proof of how powerful bhakti is and how powerful Krishna's mercy is. Even though in the body of a deer, did anyone ever hear a deer sing or talk? Even in deer language. Even though in the body of a deer, Maharaj Bharat could not forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when he was giving up the body of a deer, he loudly uttered the following prayer. Even though a deer's tongue is incapable of speaking Sanskrit prayers, yet Iti udaram hasyan mrigatvam apiya samudad jahara. Even though in the body of a deer, he chanted udaram very loudly this prayer. How powerful is bhakti? There is no material circumstance that can stop bhakti from manifesting. But this, of course, was special mercy. But with Krishna's special mercy, bhakti will manifest anywhere in a wonderful way. So he said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sacrifice personified. He gives the results of ritualistic activity. He is the protector of religious systems, the personification of mystic yoga, the source of all knowledge. So he is the sum total, the person, the personality of Godhead. He, that person, is the sum total of all these qualities. He is the controller of the entire creation. And he is the Supersoul. He is knowledge personified. He is the Supersoul. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Sabhuti. He is beautiful and attractive. I am quitting this body, offering obeisances to him and hoping that I may perpetually engage in his transcendental loving service. And uttering this, Maharaj Bharat left his body, loudly saying this prayer. What a mentality, while dying, to possess this, no lamentation whatsoever. Perhaps pain, but such transcendental consciousness. Devotees interested in hearing and chanting regularly discuss. Devotees interested in hearing and chanting Shravanam Kirtanam regularly discuss the pure characteristics of Bharat Maharaj and praise his activities. If one submissively hears and chants about the all auspicious Maharaj Bharat, one's lifespan and material opulence certainly increase. Jai! Yes. One can become very famous. Jai! And can easily attain promotion to the heavenly planets. Jai! Or attain liberation by merging into the existence of the Lord. No. Whatever one desires can be attained simply by hearing, chanting, and glorifying the activities of Maharaj Bharat. So what is it that we desire? Do we desire health, wealth, fame? Because by hearing about Maharaj Bharat, we will get that. We can get that. But is that what we want? Because by hearing this, the verse says, whatever one desires, one can attain. So we should be quite careful and subtle about what we desire. In this way, one can fulfill all his material and spiritual desires. One does not have to ask anyone else for these things. For simply by studying the life of Maharaj Bharata, one can attain all desirable things. And in Prabhupada's purport, there is a summary of all the different aspects of the forest of material enjoyment. We've exited the forest, hopefully for good. Any questions or comments? Advance to make one's life successful. To advance and thus make one's life successful. An impetus to advance. So the impetus to advance causes advancement. He's not referring to the leap, at least for some time doing some service. That makes one's life successful, certainly, because there is an eternal gain. But the impetus to advance and make one's life successful is what one can gain.
So by starting a little bit on the...
Every journey begins with a first step, even a long journey. You have to begin somewhere. Why didn't he?
Well, he achieved perfection already years ago.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, yes. Because, first of all, this whole pastime occurred because of Krishna's desire. So, when one is so surrendered, he's in Krishna's hands. Because look what he's hoping for. I'm quitting this body, offering obeisances unto him, and hoping that I may perpetually engage in his transcendental loving service. So janmani janmani shure bhavatthad bhakti rahitiki tve. So Krishna used him as he wanted. That's what it appears. Because again, this pastime, Srila Jiva Goswami explains, is an example of someone who has an obstacle or a fall down that's not caused by an offense, but caused by Krishna's desire. So the pastime itself is caused by Krishna's desire, and therefore what happens in the pastime is Krishna's desire. And Bharat Maharaj was so transcendental that it, practically speaking, didn't make a difference at this point where he was. That person, Jad Bharat, was so transcendentally situated, so his transcendental realization was so deep, he was in the spiritual world. Is that? I can't come up with more than that, certainly. Yeah. Bharat Maharaj? Not that I know of. I never heard that. His father was an incarnation of the Lord, Rishabhdev Maharaj. But he was a great Paramhamsa. None of the Acharyas comment, obviously, on this. But they don't comment on the question that you asked. And one can also say that in yam yam vapi smram bhavam tyajan yante kalevram tam tam evati kanteya saratad bhava bharata. So he had to mature some. Because a devotee is less concerned with even going back to Godhead and more concerned with placing himself in Krishna's service. That is the mature state, because if we're overly concerned with going back to Godhead, that unless it's a very very pure desire and a fully pure desire, the tendency for liberation can be present in that. But in any case, the ultimate answer is, it seems that he clearly placed himself in Krishna's hands, and the whole pastime is orchestrated by Krishna. So Krishna did with him as he liked. Yes. The third option is the Brahma Jyoti. And the people who are really stubborn, that's where they choose to go, because they don't want to love Krishna and they don't want to suffer in this world. The reason why it's not... The reason why is that it's like this is because we are part of Krishna. There's no way to avoid this fact that we're part of Krishna. The hand, the finger, is part of the body. There's no way that the finger can be happy independently of the body. So similarly, we can't avoid the fact that our sarup, Jivera Sarupoi, Krishna Nityadas. This is what we are. And we don't want to accept this. So the force in that sense is, okay, you want to try to be happy in your cut-off way? Go ahead, try. So we can't be happy, but that doesn't stop any of us from trying for birth after birth after birth after birth after birth after birth. For billions and billions of years, we still try. And Krishna kindly sends help, but we're obstinate. And I'm speaking of myself. There's such a deep aversion to placing myself in Krishna's hands and being and making him everything for me, and being a fully surrendered soul. This is what it means to be a conditioned soul. There's an aversion to Krishna, and Krishna says, okay, you want to keep playing this? Go ahead. But We can turn to him at any time. So you think he should have an option that we could actually be able to escape, and that's the Brahma Jyoti. But we can't escape from being his servant. This is who we are. Go ahead.
It doesn't sound very
democratic. It isn't. It's quite autocratic, in fact. But we can, what can he do? He's the absolute truth. What can he do? We're his part and parcels. Huh? Everything in existence has to have a relationship with him. Yeah, so therefore might as well surrender. See, a peculiar thing about the whole system is that Krishna, in one sense, he takes away our choice. Once you start taking devotional service, you may have so many other desires, you have so many aversions, but he slowly starts taking away all your choices. And he says, he takes away all your choices, and then all you're left with is you can only go that way. And then when you go that way, he glorifies you. What a wonderful devotee. Look what he's done. So he's not... See, what would make it, I think, what you're hinting at, that he's a dictator with some kind of a problem, you know, that he has to have everyone surrender to him. Otherwise, he has some lack inside, something going on inside, some Napoleonic complex of sorts. But what makes Krishna not a dictator is his pleasure is serving the devotees. He wants us to come so he can serve us and increase our ecstasy, which is what happens in the leelas in Golok, in Vrindavan. If it wasn't for that, it would appear that Krishna was just a dictator. But he's not. He's the ultimate lover of his devotees. He gives himself to his devotees. In the Bhagavatam, the first time we see Krishna, he's driving the chariot of his devotee. He chooses to introduce himself like that. He wants to be known as the servant and lover of his devotees. All his names are connected in that way. Like that. So it's not an actual not understanding of the heart of. I know there was one devotee who came to the VIHE in the 80s. Very talented writer, very intelligent, quite brilliant. And he was so upset with Krishna for giving him free will. Why didn't he just... The Vishnu Tattvas, they don't have free will. They're just Vishnu. He was so upset with Krishna that he actually... I don't know what... I haven't heard from him in years, but he left devotional service. He just didn't... That we were in such a forced suffering condition. He was so upset for Krishna with that. Because attached to that brilliance that he had was also arrogance. Whenever we have something good in the material world, there is a competing bad thing that comes along with it. So instead of accepting, okay, I'm from my little teeny position, if I was God, I would have organized it in a better way. You know, that's basically what we're... the mood is. But surrender is very, very difficult. Very difficult. Because of false ego. We can't be happy in the material world because we want to be Krishna. And look, there's millions of people who all want to be Krishna. So it just means a struggle, a fight with every one of them who want to be the center. So how can we be happy? The only way you can be happy is you can convince everyone in the world that you're the center and everyone should simply love you and serve you completely. But try it. Try to convince everyone. It doesn't work. Because everyone's saying, that's one idea, but I have a better idea.